No, what's that? Oh, high school. His sister, of all things. Oh, we are having a great time with Levi. I love Levi. Levi's a great, great guy, and we appreciate you putting him on loan to us. And for his parents, great job raising him, and we really appreciate him and his work ethic. He is a great worker, and he's very smart. Yesterday, he led his team to the first annual volleyball tournament for Ontario singles. And he led his team to victory and won that game. Actually, they lost this double elimination, so they made it all the way to the championship round, and then they lost the championship round. But it's double elimination, so you get to play again. And since they played again, they were able to win, and they beat a team from Mississauga. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time yesterday. And I don't know if Levi's ever made a mistake before, but he made many mistakes yesterday in the volleyball tournament. It was kind of fun to watch. And I didn't play, so it was even better. So it was a lot of fun, but we do enjoy Levi. And I love this church. Pastor McLean has been an absolute blessing to me and an encouragement to me in my life. I remember in college, we were just dating, and maybe just married, I think. And we got married in our third year of college. And Pastor McLean actually was behind us in a McDonald's line, and he just nudged me and said, "I got this one." And I argued with him as per usual, and he said, "No, I want to be a blessing to you guys. You've just getting married and still in Bible college." And that was really my, I'd known Pastor McLean, but that was really my first introduction to him and on a personal level. And from that point, it's grown, and he's challenged me to have a better relationship with the Lord. And I want to thank you for helping your pastor and standing behind him and being faithful to church. We are having the HELP program here. This in just a few short weeks. It's coming up very quickly, July the 11th through the 16th. Now, I do want to get some feedback from you. What do you know about the HELP program? Somebody give me some feedback. Somebody maybe that's not been there before. What do you know about the HELP program? Anybody? Don't make me start pulling teeth. All right. What do you know? Yes, ma'am. Very good. That is a great answer, by the way. Okay, that is exactly what it is a concentrated effort to win children to Christ. So we are focusing on a children's program in the evening. But it's not only that. Does anybody else want to add anything to that? Yes, ma'am, right here. Yes, we're going to be helping the community as well with the Love Works campaign. And I believe you've been doing some of that already, and I appreciate that. And continue to do those things because love actually does work. And that's funny enough, it's a biblical principle, and it works. So think about that. So yeah, those are both right answers. And I want to encourage you that it's not just a children's program, although it is. It is a church program, okay? I would encourage you, every one of you, be involved. Because I get the lovely job of spending the evening program here. I get to be the, for lack of a better word, MC of the program. And I get very excited, and you see another side of me maybe that you've not seen before. And it is a lot of fun, but it is very difficult to do without people that are there to help. And we will have workers coming from other churches. But here's what you need to understand, is this is a church-wide program. It doesn't happen just one week. This is just a boost to help you in your now newly found children's program and to continue that throughout the rest of the year and throughout the rest of this church's lifetime, really, is what the goal is. It's a shot in the arm. So please, if you're thinking this is just a children's program, the teenagers are going to help, we're going to have people from other churches coming, please do not stay away. We want to pack this place out. We've been talking about using the glassed-in area up top in case we have to. Please come. Don't stay away. If you can't get in the doors, that's a good thing, all right? We want this church busting at the seams. So not only is it a children's program, but it's also the Love Works program. And we're not here just to only bring children to know Christ. We're here to bring a community to Christ. And we want to see that. We want to see Hamilton, this area of Hamilton, come to know Christ. So that's how we do that through the Love Works campaign as well. To show this community that love, the love of Christ, truly does work. So I want you to book the time off. If you work, try and book that time off, July the 11th through the 16th. At least be here in the evenings if you can. And the children, we view children this way, and this is maybe not the best way to view children, but a lot of times we view children as an inlet to the home. And recently I've been going through our bus route and calling the families and saying, listen, you've been riding our bus for 8-10 years, and we just want to come by and get to know you. And you'd be surprised the response at that. I remember one, and I was able to get into their home for an hour and just spend some time with them, get to know them a little bit. They said, in the years that we've been going, and they've been coming since I've been going there, before I've been going there, and I've been there for 7 years now, and they said, not one time has anybody come by and saw us and spent a little bit of time with us. So this is an opportunity for your church to make a difference in this community through children. Okay? So it's not a one-week thing. It is by far, far bigger than that. We get the opportunity to come for a week, and we get to give you a little bit of excitement and try to get you charged up, but it is your responsibility from that week on to make that work, because you guys know you can't just do a whole job in 1 week. You got to spend the time, work with people, do the things that need to be done, and let the Lord do something great. I hope you're praying for it. I hope you're praying that the Lord would do something great, because we want the Lord to do something great, and it's only through the Lord that that's going to happen. So make sure you're praying about that. I hope you're getting excited about it. It'll be a crazy atmosphere in here, okay? If you think, I can't stand all that noise, just turn your hearing aid down a little bit, and you'll be all right, okay? Just turn it down a little bit, and what we do is we bring all the kids in. We have a skit. And Brother Levi is the bad guy in the skit. His name is Black Bart, okay? So he gets to run around and chase all the kids and be the bad guy, which he's pretty good at, actually. It's kind of scary. And so that's how we start, and then we'll do an offering. And offering is the greatest time of my life. And actually, I don't know if Abby knows this yet. Abby's going to be my co-partner in crime in the offering. And what we do is we do the boys against the girls. And whoever brings the most money at the end of the week, usually it's me. I get to put a pie in the girl's face because the boys bring more money. So that's how it usually works. So we're going to have Abby do that. I hope she's willing. She didn't know that. I just told her that just now. So I appreciate her being willing. And so that's that's another opportunity that we get to just get the kids excited. And that's where you guys come in, because you have all the money. Okay? And if you give it to Abby, I will not be happy. I will not be happy, all right? So then we go through a program, we sing some songs, some crazy songs, and then we try and wind them down a little bit. And I openly proclaim this, the most important time in all of the help program is the preaching time. That's the most important time. And we're going to have Pastor Stone preach to the children this week, and Brother Daniluk. And both of them are very good with children, and it's going to be a great time for them to begin to realize their need of salvation during that time. So that is the most important time. We'll play a few games, and then we'll dismiss them. That's basically it, and we'll do all that in an hour and a half. And we have a big prize that we're going to give away at the end. So that is the help program in a nutshell. It's very exciting. I love it because I get to be a kid again. And I'm only 27 years old, but I get to be a kid again. My wife says I'm not allowed to be a kid at home, so I have to do it somewhere. Luckily, I get to do it in church, all right? So that is the help program. I hope you're excited about it. I am. I always am. I get very excited about it. And this is a great church, and hopefully the Lord will allow it to be a great shot in the arm, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. And pray that the Lord would do something great there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin our message. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Father, we thank you for salvation, for saving our souls, wretched sinners that we are. Father, we don't deserve it. Father, may tonight we see the fact that you need us and that you want us, to live for you in such a way that would be honoring and glorifying to you. And Father, again, we don't even deserve the opportunity to be able to serve you, but yet you give it to us. Please help us to fulfill that. Please help this church. Father, I'm so grateful to them. I'm so grateful to their pastor and for all that they've done. May you just help us to leave here different tonight than when we came. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I've entitled the message, Watch. Our world is connected to an ever-increasing, ever-changing world of technology. How many of you like technology? Anybody? We got a few people, all right? Most older people don't like technology. I mean, that's understandable. There are some. We have a gentleman in our church that, oh my, he's got to be mid-70s, and he's right up to date. He's got a Mac computer, and he's got an iPhone, and he's on it in church a lot of times, and no, I'm kidding. His name's Dave Dore, so if you do ever meet Dave Dore, tell him I said that, because he's always on me. He's always ragging me. So, but he's a very technologically sound elderly person, and he's a great guy. But some people don't like technology, but I love it. I'm amazed by it. I'm amazed what people can do with it. I'm amazed that you can Bluetooth something, I mean, through the air. Wi-Fi is amazing. I love the fact that you can call, text, email, take a picture, record a video, open your garage door, shut your lights on and off, change the temperature in your house with what we call a phone. Can you ever imagine Alexander Graham Bell ever getting to a point where he could turn his lights on and off with his phone? My buddy, I don't know what app it is, but he has an app that he can turn his lights on and off and his garage door open with his phone from anywhere in the world. He loves it. I don't know why. But I love the fact. I love the fact that now I don't even have to go to the bank. I don't remember the last time I went to the bank. I just get a check from my work. I get a check, and I take a picture of that check on my phone. It's amazing. I love it. I have an iPhone. I have Apple TV. I have all kinds of different things. The only thing I don't have is a really nice car that has Bluetooth in it, but I would love that, all right? Just so turn your phone on and play some music through the air to your vehicle so you can take nice drives and have a good time. I love technology. I love it. I hate the fact that sometimes it doesn't work. I hate that. I do hate that. The thing I love now is the Apple Watches that they have. By the way, I love Apple, in case nobody's gotten that yet. Unfortunately, just recently, I had to downgrade to Windows 10 from an Apple iMac because I was doing a lot of video, and I had to do all these things, and my Mac didn't have the hardware. I want you to notice that. The hardware, not the software. The hardware that could not perform that, and Mac was very expensive, and somebody gave me a laptop that would do it, so I had to downgrade. But nonetheless, I love Apple Watches. I don't have one. But if anybody wants to buy me one, I will gladly take it. But I love the fact that you can read your email on your watch now. You can do some sort of banking on your watch. All these things, technology is absolutely amazing. I know I'm just touching the consumer's surface and business world and things that go on far beyond my imaginations all through technology. The other thing I hate about technology is it's always changing. Just when you think you got the latest and greatest thing, somebody gets smart and designs something new. I hate that. And we live in an ever-changing world in that sense. I remember we first got our first gaming system ever that I grew up with was Atari. And we got to get it out one time a year. That was around Christmas time. And so we had a good time with that, with the joysticks that never worked, you know, and you just slamming them together, trying to get them to work. And we went from Atari to PlayStation. That was a big jump. And ever-changing world, and before I knew it, PlayStation 2 was out, PlayStation 3, and I think they have PlayStation 4 now, and Xbox 360s, and all kinds of different things. I'm not into that anymore, but nonetheless, there's all kinds of things, and just when you think you have the best, something else comes out. We're in an ever-changing world. If you were to watch television very closely, and I do this because I do make some videos, and I try to watch things, about every 6 or 7 seconds, the camera angle changes. Watch it and pay attention, and it would be close to that. Every 6 or 7 seconds, the camera changes angles. We are a society that likes fast moving, and unfortunately, we have short attention spans. Microsoft researchers surveyed 2,000 people in Canada and found that the average attention span of a human being is 8 seconds. 8 seconds of the average Canadian human. Now, I want you to understand this. That is 1 second less than the average goldfish. So a goldfish, according to this survey, has a longer attention span than human beings. Now, I don't doubt that. I've preached enough to know that, all right? Some of you are already sleeping. But while we are gawking at the things that are going on in this world, while we're looking at the technology, while we're looking at those things, while we're looking at television, while we're watching videos, while we're watching politics, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. While we're watching world events and all the things that are going on this world, God asks us to just watch. Just watch. Matthew chapter 26, we'll begin reading in verse 36. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, the Bible says this: "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. After the Last Supper, Judas now has left and gone to betray Jesus. They were sitting at the dinner table, I guess, and eating that Last Supper, we call it. And he looks at Judas, he says, Whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. Go on, get out of here, go do the thing that you have to do. I know that you are the one to betray. And Jesus and his 11 now disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been there. I was just in Israel in February. By the way, I challenge anyone who can go to go. Absolutely amazing. The Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asks 8 of the disciples to remain at a certain spot, and he says, I'm going to take Peter, James, and John, and we're going to go a little further. I've always considered this the inner circle of the followers of Christ. If you notice in the Bible, Jesus does take Peter, James, and John apart quite often. In fact, he does that in the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John get to see Elijah and Moses come down and meet Jesus. And they begin to talk, and Peter again opens his big mouth and says, Hey, we need to set up 3 tabernacles. And Jesus says, You don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus seemed to have just some sort of special bond with these 3 men. When Jesus gets to the spot that he wants, he asks Peter, James, and John, he says to them, Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Jesus goes a few steps further and begins to pray. And in this, he really begins to pray. I don't know that I've ever prayed with this kind of fervency. Jesus is going to die, and he begs God, If this is the cup that you want me to drink, nevertheless thy will. That is a sermon, again, in and of itself. Whatever God wills, no matter what he wants to put me through, whatever God wills, I will do it. The first thing I want you to see this evening is that the disciples were distracted. The disciples were distracted. Let's read verse 40 and 41 again. The Bible says, And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, to put this story in a bit of perspective, earlier that day the disciples asked Jesus where they're going to partake of the Passover. They're wondering what's going, you know, where are we going to partake the Passover? They knew that Passover was coming. They knew that they had to partake in this Passover meal. Where are we going to do it? Jesus says, you go into town and you'll find a man, you follow him and he'll give you a room. And so they do that and they begin to prepare for what's going to be their Last Supper with Jesus. They go through the events of the Last Supper and get prepared for it, and everything seems to be going well, and they find this man and get all those things up and going. It's evening by the time they sit down, and they sit and talk, and they have a good time, and I believe fellowship, and maybe not even realizing that this is the time that Jesus is going to pass from them and go to the cross. They sit and talk and find out that one of them is going to betray Jesus Christ, and they begin to ask the question, is it I? And they want to know who it is, and Jesus says, whoever dips with me in the sop, he it is that will betray me. And after they have the meal, Judas leaves. I don't think they knew. I don't think they knew why Judas left. I think maybe they thought he had to go take care of some business, pay the man, or something that allowed them to use the room, but nonetheless, Judas leaves. Jesus gets up and goes to Gethsemane. Now, no doubt the disciples were a little tired after a long day of getting things ready, preparations being made, and it being fairly late now. I mean, after you eat a long dinner and spend some time, and it's getting later on in the evening, and I'm sure they were having a hard time staying awake. I mean, obviously they are. Let's look at verse 37 and 38 again. The Bible says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, if any time in their lives, this would be the time for the disciples to realize that Jesus Christ is going through an intense battle. The Bible says here that he was very sorrowful and heavy, very heavy. You could see that something in his life was making him distraught. Why didn't they see that? Why didn't they pick up on that? They were distracted. They obviously were very tired. The events of the day, there could have been more that went on that the Bible may not give us, but the events of the day, they're exhausted, they're tired. This was a very important time in the life of Christ. And all the disciples, the inner circle, the for lack of a better word, the cream of the crop, all they could do in the most intense time in Jesus' life was sleep. Was sleep. Jesus goes off and prays and comes back and he says, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? The disciples were distracted by their physical desire to rest. I believe that this is when Jesus needed them the most while he walked on this earth. Not that Jesus really needs any of us, but this is the time when Jesus begged them to pray. Pray with me, watch with me. And again, all they could do was sleep. The question is, why would they do this? Why in the time that Jesus needed them the most, why would they fall asleep? Why would they take that rest? Why would they allow their bodies the physical desire that it wanted? Well, I'm sure that Jesus prayed a lot on this earth. I want you to think, and I think in pictures, so if you could think in pictures with me, that would be make my life a lot easier. Jesus probably prayed a lot. Figure John chapter 17 is a whole chapter of Jesus praying to his Father. Jesus spent a great amount of time praying. By the way, if you don't pray, I would encourage you to do that. You can never spend enough time in prayer. I've never heard anybody say, I just spent too much time in prayer today. Jesus prayed a lot. And if you will, I can imagine that the disciples probably thought, well, he's been saying for years that he was going to die. He has been saying for years, for 3.5 years actually, that he's going to go to this cross and somehow do all these things. I mean, it's not going to be tonight. I mean, he's been praying, he's been doing these things, he's been going about his business. This is just normal for Jesus. You know what, we'll just kind of relax tonight. We'll take a snooze, we'll catch a little Z's if you will. Surely it won't happen tonight. Maybe the disciples are a lot like you and I. We might be saying, Jesus has been saying for years that he's going to come back. Jesus has been saying for years that someday that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. He's been saying that for years. Surely it's not going to be during our lifetime. Surely it's not going to be while we live on this earth. Maybe my kids. I mean, we can see that the world's getting a little bit worse, but really, is Jesus really going to come back in our time? Nobody really knows. The meanwhile, we are distracted on this earth. Meanwhile, God in heaven is looking down and seeing his people, for lack of a better word again, sleeping spiritually. We don't have the fervency that Jesus had in this time. We're distracted by television. We're distracted by politics. We're distracted by world events. We're distracted by technology. We're so distracted we can't concentrate on what God has for us. Distracted. We're distracted. I want you to look again. Jump back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In verse 13, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Verse 1 through verse 12 talks about virgins that had lamps. And they were to wait for the bridegroom. And he gives a parable that you need to be ready when the Son of Man cometh. And he gives this word again, watch. Watch, therefore. You have no idea. You don't know when the hour cometh, when the Son of Man comes. We don't know when it's going to be. And Jesus challenges us, watch. But we're distracted. I'll be honest with you. I'm distracted a lot of times. I'm distracted doing good things, by the way. I'm distracted working at a church. I'm distracted trying to get some things done that I think are more important than what the Lord has given me to watch. Watch. From distracted disciples comes, number two, defeated disciples. Distracted disciples comes defeated disciples. I want you to go to Luke chapter 22 with me. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to have you turn in your Bible a lot. This is church, so I think that's all right, right? Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. The Bible says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee." Oh, that's a sobering thought. That the Lord Jesus Christ was praying himself for Peter. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter says, "Hey, there is no way that I'm going to deny you." Jesus gives him a very pointed warning. He says, Satan desires to sift you. Now, I don't know why, but I always thought that sift was just kind of run your fingers through the wheat. The word sift actually means to separate. To separate you, just like you would separate the chaff from the wheat as they would do in the older days and throw it up in the wind and the wheat would fall and the chaff would blow away. Satan desires, Peter, to sift you as wheat. He desires to tear you apart from me. He desires to shred you. He desires to put you as far away from me as possible. Satan desires to do that. Satan wanted to separate Peter from Jesus Christ, but Peter says, no, 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 no. I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. Wow. Peter sounds like a great guy, and I would tend to give myself a Peter-like thing in that I open my mouth and insert my foot an awful lot. And that's what Peter does, and he says, I will go with you to death. And then it comes around and says, I can't even pray with you. I can't even stay up 1 hour. I can't even stay awake with you for an hour, let alone go to death. And we know the story. Go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. Peter denies Christ. After saying that, just a few verses later, he denies Christ. The Bible says this in verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he, being Peter, denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, what a sobering moment again. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I can understand why. He just got done saying, Lord, there's no way I will ever deny you. Satan's not going to tear me from you. I am with you to the end, whether prison or whether it death. I'm not going to leave you. And he denies him thrice. And Peter runs out and weeps bitterly. Peter was defeated. Peter was defeated. I can only wonder, what would have happened if Peter had stayed awake and prayed and spent the time with God that he needed? When Christ's followers don't watch because they're distracted, the very next step is defeat. As a kid, I was in many, 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 I can't say many enough, fights with my brother and sister. I have a sister that is 2 years older than me, and I have a brother that is 3 years younger than me. And inevitably, one of the things that would happen is that I would begin to win. I mean, obviously. And as I began to win, they would somehow escape from my grasp, and they would run to their room. We each had our own rooms, and they would slam the door behind them, and I was just never fast enough to get there in time. They always got to jump on me. And I would push on that door. I would hold that door open and just give it all I had. And they would push from the other side. And usually they had the bed to put their feet on. You getting the picture? They would put their feet on the bed and put their back up against the door. And there's really no way to do that, to overcome that. And I would do that. I don't know if you know this about me. And some of you know me, but I'm a pretty smart cookie. I would wait. I would let the door handle go, and I would wait until I felt and heard the pressure from the door come off. And then with all my strength, I'd hit that door like a blazing speed of lightning and just blast that thing open, and we'd start it all over again. There was nowhere they could hide this time. I used to do that, and I used to think I was pretty smart for doing it, but you know what? Satan does the same thing. Same thing happens to us. With Satan, we are in a never-ending battle with Satan. Every moment of every single day, we are in a battle with Satan, and we put up a good fight. I believe for most of us, we put on the armor of God. We take the sword, and we take the shield, and we take those things, and Satan knows there's no way that he can defeat us when we have the armor of God on us. There's no way that he can penetrate this shield of faith. There's no way that he can cut through all those things. There's no way. But he waits. He's a pretty smart cookie too. He waits. And he waits until one day we let our guard down. Until one day he sees that door loosen just a little bit. He sees that opportunity where he can get his foot in. And then there's no turning back. Once Satan's got his foot in, he has you. He's going to devour you. Many people in this room tonight, I believe, and maybe I hope not in this room tonight. But I know, and I'm not as naive to think that there are people in this room that are living a defeated Christian life. Folks, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not experiencing that victory in Christ. You're not experiencing that fullness that you can enjoy through the person of Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's because your eyes are not on the Savior. Perhaps it's because you're distracted. Perhaps it's because you're looking at the things of this world that Satan has willfully provided to you. Perhaps it's your job. Perhaps it's your family. Perhaps it's your church work. Perhaps it's, you could fill in the list with anything, but if you're being distracted from the Savior, the next step is defeat. And really, that means being separated from God. Satan is separating you, drawing you away, and sifting us as wheat. He is pulling us farther and farther apart from God, and the really sad part of it, a lot of times we don't even notice it. We don't, because we come to church. We do the right things. We look the part. We're doing what quote-unquote makes a good Christian. But we don't realize that slowly he's pulling us apart. Slowly we don't have that relationship with God anymore. Slowly we don't even pray anymore. We begin to fall asleep. I believe we, and I'm including myself, are so distracted and so separated from God that sometimes we even blame God. You ever gotten that far away from somebody that you begin to blame them for things that happen in your life? I've heard this. Where is God? How come he's not working in our world today? Why is our world so bad? Why isn't God performing miracles anymore? Why doesn't he send revival? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit move in our midst like he once did? Why? Where is God? Why is he doing these things? Why? Where? And we ask all these questions. Can I give you just a small hint? It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Do you think that God wants to see people saved? I guarantee it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is it? Why is it? Why don't we see it anymore? Perhaps it's because we're distracted. And from distracted, we're defeated. And when we're distracted and when we're defeated, we will be devoured. We absolutely will be devoured. The word watch is defined in Webster's 1913 dictionary as this: the act of watching. Go figure. The act of watching. Forbearance of sleep. Vigil, wakeful, vigilant, or constantly observant attention, close observation, guard, preservative or preventative vigilance, a watching or a guarding by night. That brings to mind one verse, and that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I believe most of you will know this verse. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says this: be sober, be vigilant, both in the definition of watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if you know who wrote the book of 1 Peter, but it was Peter. Peter knew this verse all too well. Peter lived this verse. Peter realized, man, I was distracted that night. I should have stayed awake. I should have watched when Christ needed me the most. And because I didn't, I denied him. And Satan sifted me as wheat. And he devoured me. And Peter gives the warning that Jesus Christ gave him. Be sober. Be vigilant. The devil wants to devour you. I had the opportunity a little while ago to watch several episodes of The Big Cat Diaries. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. I love watching a lion hunt. And a lion waits until the opportune moment when, get this, the animal is either hurt or the animal's distracted. When it's not all, its senses are not all geared up waiting for that lion. Perhaps when it's asleep. Perhaps when it's sickly or not concentrating on everything that it should be, and the lion attacks and begins to run after that. And that lioness is soon able to overcome it. And then she and the rest of the pride all come bounding in and they begin to devour that animal. Satan wants to devour you. Absolutely every one of you tonight. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to rip you apart from your families. Fathers, he wants you to be the worst father in the world. He doesn't want you to be a father at all. He doesn't want you to be a grandfather. He wants to tear you from your family. He wants to rip that family apart. He wants to tear you from having a relationship with the Lord. Tonight, I believe God wants us to be refocused on him. Again, if I can use Peter as an illustration, Peter walks on the water. What an amazing thing. But what happened? Peter got distracted. Peter became a defeated Christian, and what did Jesus say to him? Oh, ye of great faith because you got out of the boat. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Focus on God. Begin watching. God wants us to watch the right thing. God doesn't want us to be focused on the things going on in this earth. God doesn't want us to be focused on technology. God doesn't want us to be focused on our job or our anything other than him. God is looking for someone that will watch. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Gideon. Gideon, scared to death Gideon. He didn't want to go fight those guys. There's no way he was going to do it, but God chose Gideon, and then he gives him a ton of men. And he says to Gideon, Gideon, you got too many men. And he begins to say, if anybody's scared, I want you to let them go. So, hey, anybody scared? Yep, I'm scared. All right, you get out of here. And they leave. And the final test for Gideon and his men was, whoever drinks while they continue to watch, those are the ones that I want. Those are the ones that I want. And out of all the men that Gideon started with, only 300 men watched. Only 300 men watched. Now that was military strategy. If you can't have somebody that's going to continually be on guard, then what's the sense? I believe God gives us the same challenge, and I hope I'll give you the same challenge tonight. I don't think everybody in Canada is going to watch, but will New Testament Baptist Church watch? Would you watch with God 1 hour? We don't know when he's going to come. We have no idea, but it could be tonight. Will you be ashamed? Will Jesus come to you and say, sleep on now, take your rest, the time has come? Or will he say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I want to show you two more passages of scripture and I'll be finished. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Verse 7, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Can I tell you something? It does not matter if you wake or sleep. You're still going to go to heaven. But God is asking you, will you watch? Will you watch with me? The end's coming. You know the times and of the seasons. I don't even need to write unto you, Paul says, of the times and seasons. You know our world. Look at our world. It's terrible. This is the time that God needs some people to watch, to be sober, to put on that breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. One last passage, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 1, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says this, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Here's the warning: if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." New Testament Baptist Church, will you watch? You have an opportunity this week to watch with Christ. I'm sure you have coworkers. You'll run into somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I'm sure you'll run into some family that needs you this week to watch, to be on guard, to keep your focus on Christ. The Lord could come at any moment. Will he come to you as a thief, or will he come to you as an expectant Savior, waiting for him? Let's look for his coming. Let's watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. I believe our spirit indeed is willing, but man, our flesh is weak. Let's not be distracted. He doesn't need distracted, uninterested, defeated, and devoured Christians. He's got a world of those. He needs someone that will stand and watch. Someone that will be with him. Someone that will work with him. Someone that will stand at his side. Keep working. Keep doing the things that you need to do. Keep working for Christ and stand on guard for Christ. Don't let Satan get a foothold. Be sober, be vigilant, and watch. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. Father, I thank you for this church, and I believe they are a lighthouse in this community. But Father, I'm not as naive to think that there's some in this room. And Father, I know there's been times, myself included, where we've been just kind of floating through our Christian life. Father, you've been saying for almost 2,000 years that you would come again. Father, may we realize the severity and importance of that. And may we watch tonight. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. If you have need tonight, I'm going to ask the piano to begin to play a song. And as that piano begins to play, I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's all stand at this time. And if you have need to come to this altar, would you come? Would you come to this altar right now if you have need? You say, you know what? I need to get refocused on God. I need to get refocused. Would you come now as the piano plays? This is your opportunity. We're not going to belabor the moment. If the Spirit's speaking to you, the Lord's touching your heart, you come.